Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Fan. Eagles play tonight. Jahan Dotson to score the first touchdown, B. Plus 2,000. You want that? You want that action?
Nah.
Shout out to everybody listening to the program.
AJ, blow a fuse.
Very excited to welcome on Joe Theismann to the program. I just looked this up. Scarence Terrence on Twitter says, listening to B. Mitch and Finley on a Victory Monday hits like crack. So we got that going.
I like that.
Joe T., how are you?
You celebrate them all.
I'm good, guys. Yeah, finally, we get to celebrate a Monday. It feels good. I mean, a win is a win. I mean, it's, you know, you don't get style points. Nobody's out there saying, well, this looked like that. We found a way to win, and that was the important thing.
Joe, when you have a kicker, you play with Mosey, and, you know, you got a kicker that can bake them all the time. When a kicker comes in and do that, he's a hero for you, right?
He really is. I mean, you know, it's funny. You know, you've got the guys practicing all the time, and the kickers usually go on to another field, and they, you know, Tress will be over there with them, and they'll be hanging out. And all of a sudden, you know, guys give them a hard time. Oh, you're a kicker. You just hang around all day. You don't do a whole lot. And then all of a sudden, you get down to the time in the game where you really need him, and he's everybody's friend if he makes it.
Right. Yep. That's what they were kind of saying in the locker room last night.
Yeah, and if he misses it, it's like they don't even know you. I mean, it's you know, the locker room dynamic is such a fun place. If it's in it, I mean, it's just the things that happen, the personalities based upon how games turn out. But, when you have somebody like, for example, you know, Mark was the MVP in 1982 in the National Football League. We would not have won. We wouldn't have been even in the playoffs had it not been for Mark. And, of course, with John, we wouldn't have won. So, you know, those two guys were vital to our success. And I think, you know, once we find our way into the end zone, this is a great way to say, okay, we've got the kicker here. You know what we've got. Now we have to start putting the ball in the end zone and let him start kicking extra points instead of field goals.
Yeah. Joe, totally. One thing I couldn't help but think of, and not that this is a direct comparison, but, you know, the Washington organization, I think they were the football team. Honestly, I think they were the football team the last time they beat the Giants. And I think they hadn't won an NFC East game since 22. And they hadn't won a game in almost a year. They hadn't won a game since last November in New England. I know that you were part of Joe Gibbs' first team that started, I think it was 0-5. And then you guys you guys were able to turn that thing around. I don't want to compare yesterday to that, but when you've been on a team that has really struggled out of the gate, what does it feel like to finally break through and get a W?
It feels like a big weight lifted off your shoulders. It really does. I mean, no matter how you find a way to win, we lost to San Francisco was our last, but took us to 0-5. Then we went into Chicago, and interestingly enough, we still hadn't found an offense that became something very special. I think in the game against Chicago, Neil Olkowitz intercepted a pass. Dave Butts jumped on a fumble. We wound up winning that game, you know, by not a large margin at all. But it was in Chicago, and it was the first victory. And, you know, once you taste victory, you want more.
Yeah.
It's like that great piece of meat that you're cutting up, whether it's that steak that you have. It just tastes so good, and you look forward to it again. And it makes going to work so much more enjoyable.
Yes.
And I think this is such a unique group of guys that have really, really never experienced it together. I mean, there's so many new guys on this football team. This is their first experience as a team to get that feeling. You know, and I'm sure Dan is saying to him as he stands in the meetings, how does this feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember this feeling. This is the feeling that we want a lot more of. and it's it gets you going.
You mentioned
they went 7-2 down the stretch that year too. Yeah. After the 0-5 start,
yeah, actually we were 8-3.
Down the stretch. But you remember? You said like, how Neil jumped caused a fumble or whatever yesterday. We're not talking about this. Benjamin St. Juice causes a fumble. That's the only turnover in the game. We didn't have any turnovers. They did.
Yeah.
And a game that close, that happens. Makes you win.
It could be that one play, Mitch. You're absolutely right. It's that one opportunity, and you never know when your number is going to be the one to make it happen. I mean, how about the pass interference call in the Kansas City game?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, guy going up to try and knock a ball away, going to try and make a play, goes through the receiver. Now you wind up with an opportunity to kick it. It is one play, you know, and people will say, well, you know, in the beginning of the season, it's only one game. Every game has a significant value to it, whether it's the first game or the 17th game.
Yep.
It doesn't matter in this business. And if it's the first play of the game or it's the last play of the game, that can be the one that makes the difference. That's why you have to be at such a high level all the time. And the instant that you relax is the instant that they capitalize on something, mm-hmm. and you wind up losing the ball game.
Talking with our friend Joe Theismann here on the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to the DMV. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. You can follow Joe at Theismann7. Of course, two N's on that. Joe, I did want to talk specific about Jaden. I thought he was really impressive, particularly in the second half yesterday. I think he made some adjustments. What did you think from the rookie quarterback?
He continues to grow. And that's, you know, we've talked about this, and we'll talk about this as the year goes on. You know, we want to see him make better decisions. We want to see him hang in the pocket a little longer. We want to see him handle pressure. I'd love to see him run out of bounds and protect himself. That one hit he took on the side, I guarantee his ribs are a little sore today. Mm-hmm. Even though you wear rib pads, they're a little bit sore today. And, you know, you relate that to the – if you watch the Chicago game last night with Houston, Caleb Williams just got beat to an ever-loving pulp last night. I mean, they ran over him upside down and spun him around 1,000 different directions. But you can't continue to take those kind of hits. That's why you learn to get the ball out of your hands as quick as you can and make decisions. I thought Cliff Kingsbury did a masterful job early in that football game to give Jaden a chance to find some comfort. You look at the first half of that football game, hardly threw the ball down the field at all.
Mm-hmm.
Threw little quick screens, threw the ball into the flat, threw some short stuff, and just really got the ball out of his hands. And so now as everybody works up a sweat and works up a lather and gets into the game, you can expand that a little bit. He makes the big throw down the middle of the football field to our tight end, which really, you know, set up the opportunity to win the ball game. But that, you know, that moment, it's just what we were talking about before. That one moment, that one play makes a world of difference, whether it's on the defensive side, the offensive side, and, you know, obviously the kicking game spoke for itself yesterday. But I thought, as I watched that game, I thought, boy, he's really, really just, you know, spoon feeding Jaden just to get him more comfortable. And we used to do this with hitches all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd run Charlie 10, hitches all the time. That's all it was. And what it did is it got me into a rhythm. It got me feeling comfortable. It got the ball out of my hands. Gave the offensive line a chance to sort of take the blows a little bit, figure out what's going on up front. But I really, you know, I don't think anybody has talked about that part of it. But I thought Cliff did a great job, a masterful job. Give him a chance to get more and more comfortable.
When you look at it, though, Joe, it's like I think like we understand it needs to be a little patience with him. Everybody just look at fantasy stats and wanted to be 300 yards passing every game. That takes time to be able to go out there and deliver that.
It does, and it takes the offense. You know, this is a group of guys that haven't played a lot together. This is a line that, you know, I thought the line, you know, got better as well. I thought they held up, you know, better as the game went on. You know, and Jaden's we know he's going to make plays with his legs. There's no question. He's going to run around and make plays. I mean, that's who he is, and that's who he's going to be. And to ask him not to do that, you'd be taking away the part of his game that I think is very difficult to defend. But it does take time. And, you know, hey, it's a W for him. It's his first W. It's Dan's first W. And that's something that you want to appreciate, not necessarily say, well, you know, the statistics weren't this, the statistics weren't that. I'd like to see his passing yards go up and his rushing yard numbers go down. But that'll happen as time goes on, I'm sure.
Specific to Cliff, the call that really stood out to me, and I was watching in the press box with a bunch of other guys, and there is so much at the line of scrimmage, right, between the screens and the short stuff, that you were wondering when they were going to set it up to go the other way. And I thought the play call where they did it, about midway through the fourth quarter, they hit Eckler on the screen on the backside, and he ran for about 30, got down into the red zone inside the 10 again. They weren't able to score. But I just thought that was a masterful. Like, he had been setting that up the whole time. You don't know how they're going to hit that coming out, whether it's you run a backside post or, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. But I just thought that was the perfect call at the perfect time.
It was. And what it was is it's the perfect place on the field. If you look at different spots on a field, you see coaches develop a personality as to what they want to call. We used to play the Dallas Cowboys. When we got to the 30-yard line, we played the Dallas Cowboys, you knew they were going to blitz you because they wanted to take you out of field goal range. You just knew it was coming. And I thought, you know, nobody's really going to talk about that, but I thought Cliff did an excellent job, not only, like I said, in the beginning of the game, but he picked his spot for that special play.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. You set it up, you run this, you run that, and all of a sudden, here you are, where you want to be, situation in the game, need a big play, need a special play, and it was right there for it, and we executed. That's the biggest thing. The execution turned out great.
There you go. Joe, I did want to ask you, talking with Joe Theismann here, Redskins legend, and how frustrating, I don't know if you were ever in a game where you had, where there were red zone struggles like Washington had yesterday. How frustrating does that get, though, for a quarterback? I mean, Jaden's numbers are pretty good. I mean, kid's completing 75% of his passes, but the inability to score yesterday in the red zone and the previous week, you know, just in the pass game at all, does that weigh on you at all?
Yeah, it does. You want to get in the end zone. But, you know, it starts by discipline up front. I don't know what they're going to say to the offense as a whole. And say, look, we cannot get to the 5-yard line. Have first and goal, and then all of a sudden turn around, have first and goal from the 10. It changes the entire dynamic of what you want to call. It changes the plays, the sequence of the plays you want to run. It changes everything. Because, you know, everything is, if you look at a game plan, all those categories are there for a reason. And goal line categories are there for a reason. Now all of a sudden it's not. You know, it's like half of the 20s, to be honest with you, when you're at the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I think the discipline has to come from up front. Now I got to be honest with you. I see this more than just with us, because you operate out of the gun. It's hard for people to hear, and they base things off of movement to a large degree. You watch the San Francisco 49ers. They have very few penalties like that, simply because Brock works from under the center quite a bit. Purdy is under the center more than probably any team in football. He works from under the center. And you just don't see guys. They can hear it better. They can see it better. They find the sequence better to be able to get an idea where you are in your drop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the gun and you're down around the goal line, it's very condensed. And so people are just getting closer to the line of scrimmage. Safeties are creeping up. Backers are creeping up. Offensive linemen get a little antsy. They get, you know, they want to be certain of what they're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, in the gun, it's a little bit harder, I think, for the guys to hear what they want to do.
That's a good point.
But,
you look at the game yesterday, though, and their issues were self-inflicted. The false start, the holding on the kickoff return.
Dude,
to start the game.
The special team star they called up had two personal fouls on kickoffs in the first quarter.
Yeah, the thing about it, like, I don't like the referee called that way behind Eckler. I mean, it kills me.
Well, you know, the thing. Well, here's the thing. I understand the referee called it, but it's Eckler's already gone. What are you holding on for?
Yes.
You know that to me, it's like, oh well, the official didn't have to call that. No, he had to call it. My question is, what are you doing when you see he's gone? As soon as he passes you, he's gone. This is what drives me crazy on swing passes and screens. I see offensive linemen and receivers, anybody who's out in front of a screen, they turn around and look back like nobody's going to catch this guy from the back, knock somebody in front of him out of the way so he can keep running. But you see this all the time. You see the screen, and all of a sudden they get going a little bit, and somebody turns around and they're looking behind them. We're not going to see too many kickoffs. I don't think we're going to see too many kickoffs returned for touchdowns. And, you know, it was exciting. We had one, and all of a sudden it's gone. But at least we know we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. You put something on film right now where the guys can study and say, if we do this, minus the holding, we got a chance for big plays.
Definitely.
Joe, last one for me. How much would you like to play with a guy like Austin Eckler?
I did. I was blessed. I had Joe Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin reminds me an awful lot of him. Nick Chiaquino was another one I had. They can run inside. They can run outside. They've got speed. They've got great hands. You know, truly, which you don't see. You just don't see it in football anymore. These guys are every down backs. They could be. If so desired, and it wasn't such a long season, and get them to beat the pulp out of them, they could be every down players. And Austin's that kind of a football player. Smart, blocks well. You know, like I said, I was blessed to have, you know, Joe and Nick in the backfield along with John when I played. So, you know, I know how much of a luxury it is. And from a play calling standpoint, I know how we utilize them. And that's the way Cliff is utilizing Austin as well. And I thought, this is another thing. Nobody, B-Rob, he had himself one heck of a day.
Yes, he did.
Okay, I mean, you talk about man running mean and nasty. That was an angry man running the football yesterday.
For sure.
And it was great to see. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, see, you know, we had a lot of really positive things happen. Now we got to get on the end zone.
There you go.
Yeah, man. Baby steps, right? Baby steps. Joe, we really appreciate you making time for us,
Joe.
Dude. It's been a lot of fun talking as we're watching this Jaden progression in real time.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to watch. I'm thrilled and excited. Like I said, just you know, the sidelines are just a step away, Jaden. Just a step away.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Take care, guys.
Bye, man.
Joe Theismann, legend. He's saying, you know, for Jaden Daniels, sidelines just a step away. For you, if you're considering buying or selling a home, the right answer is just a step away. And the right answer is our friend John Leahy.
Yep, you could be going through different things in your life, just like Kendrick. He was going through a divorce and needed to sell his Ox Road property fast. John Leahy's foolproof system and cutting-edge marketing combined to help create more demand. Not only did Kendrick's property end up receiving multiple offers, his house also sold for $13,000 more than he expected in only 3 days. He and his soon-to-be ex both got the money they needed, and they were pleased to go their separate ways in the pursuit of a new happily ever after. How can John help you put you on the right path? Start by finding out what your home worth is in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. Go to johnsellsdmv.com and find out your home's value in mere seconds. And it only takes a few seconds to request an instant cash offer on your home at johnsellsdmv.com as well. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs. He knows that life happens, and if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Here's the thing. If you're looking to sell your home because you know rates are about to drop and you think everything is about to go crazy, call John. He can talk you through all the nuances of the housing market. Nothing is simple. Everything has some context. John Leahy is the right guy to have that conversation. He has sold thousands of homes in every possible scenario you can predict. He is the right guy to walk you through this process. And truthfully, it's probably the single most important financial transaction you're ever going to make in your life. I'd want an expert. You should, too. That's why I'd call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We talk a lot of football.
Yep.
On this program. We talk...
That we do.
About every single Commanders game for weeks.
Like, profusely.
Yeah. It has been almost a calendar year since we've gotten to do a credit pie. Since we've gotten to do who deserves credit for a win. They lost 8 straight to end the year and then lost the opener.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is going to be here, B, but it's going to feel good to do a credit pie.
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to start? You want me to start? The boys in the aquarium? Maybe we'll
credit pie. 100%. No, I'm going to go credit pie. I'm going to go 25% Adam Peters for having my man O'Siren on the radar. I'm going to give some credit to my man Izzo. Because I'm giving credit to the damn kick return. He's been working on this thing. I'm giving credit to the 7 field goals. And that's the coach there. So you got to give the coach some credit. And then I'm giving the rest of it to the damn kicker. He made every one of them. But no, Tress gets some credit and also Tyler Ott. So let's just say they get the rest of the credit mixed up with the kicker. All that little whole little, what you call it, the operation.
The operation.
Yeah. So they get about... What is it, 65%?
Between the three of them, 65?
65, 10 for Izzo, and 25 for Adam.
Okay. Adam Peters, 25%. Larry Izzo, 10%. 65 to Tress, Ott, and Seibert.
Yeah.
All right. That's a lot.
Hey, man.
When it happens. It does. You're right. They all deserve a ton of credit. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Credit pie now. Phone lines are open. B. Mitch, credit pie. Commanders, 21-18 win. I mean, how hard is it to kick 7 field goals?
Yeah, we've been seeing how it is to kick one. And this kid came, and at the end of the game, he was so calm, man.
Just so humble.
I said, humble and gracious. I asked a question about golf. You know, so when you get into a rhythm in golf, routine in golf, what's the first thing you start thinking? How good you can be, or, damn, I don't want to make no mistake. So I asked him, did he get like that in kicking a field goal? I said, after you get to like the 4th, 5th one, he said, nah, I have an operation. I go through my operation, and I go out there, and I just do my kicking. When he was kicking at a tree at home. So he's trying to hit the tree. If you can hit the tree, you can hit the middle of that damn a goalpost.
The tree thing was a very interesting. I wasn't expecting the tree thing.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take your calls. 800-636-1067. Credit pies. I'm going through mine right now, trying to kind of work my way through who deserves the credit. I'm getting a whole bunch of tweets about this. T. Quinn says, 50% to the kicker, 30% to B-Rob, 20% to Jaden. B-Rob was a beast. I thought Eckler was really good. Yep. I thought Ertz was really good. I think
This I could have given some credit to St. Juice for that damn punch out.
Bro, I have him on my list.
That turnover made the difference.
I'm trying to do the math here because, you know, that's not exactly a strong suit.
Want me to add it up for you?
No, that's 50. That's 80. That's 90. All right, I think I'm right. You ready?
Go ahead.
33% of the credit has to go to the kicker.
Okay.
Seibert. Yo, he made every kick.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to make every kick when you kick it three times. He made every kick, and he kicked it seven times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. And then, to your point, and I wonder if we wouldn't need to credit these guys so much, but we saw last year with Cheeseman.
The operation was not good.
Dude, and the hold was perfect. The snap was perfect. I'm giving, so 50% of my credit is going to the kicking operation.
Yeah.
Of that, I'm giving 33% of it, so two-thirds of it, to the kicker, and the other third to the snapper and the holder.
Okay.
So now I'm at 50 chips, I think. I really think Jaden deserves a ton of credit, and I think there is a recurring thing that nobody's talking about. Dude does not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
In a close, in an incredibly close game like that, you said it talking to Theismann that the one turnover might have been the difference in the game.
Totally.
And for a rookie quarterback that has the ball, I mean, he threw the ball 29 times yesterday, ran another 10, got walloped a couple times. And we're all going to talk about the hit he took that knocked the wind out of him. He was getting smoked in the pocket, which is one thing I've always pointed out in these conversations that I feel like is a little unfair towards running quarterbacks. Some of the biggest hits happen in the pocket, too.
All the time.
He got crushed repeatedly, did not turn it over. I thought second half Jaden is who the whole city is waiting to see, and that person expanding.
Yep.
I thought Jaden was really good. I thought Robinson was excellent. There was a number of times where he looked down and just continued to muscle his way out. I've got Jaden and B-Rob for 15. I thought Eckler was fantastic. I've got Eckler for 10. Then I've got Zach Ertz for 5. Benjamin St. Juice for another 5. BSJ had the forced fumble, which was a vital play. I also think that he really slowed things down with Neighbors once he got onto his, like, once they benched Mike Davis and had BSJ move around with him, I think that changed a lot. I think you could probably maybe move Robinson up, maybe even Jaden, frankly. You could if you wanted to give this 100% to the kicker. Like, he was so good.
Yes, he was.
Phone lines are lit up. We're going to get some folks going. I think Jupe is the man to kick things off. Jupe, it's been a very long time since I've asked you for a credit pie, sir, but today is that day. What do you got?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But first, it's been a long time coming. We got to do the victory ritual. Let's all hit the Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo!
All right, my credit pie. I'm giving 30% to B-Rob, Eckler, and Ertz. You guys asked me who was most confident in. I said B-Rob and Eckler. It looked like those guys is Jaden's security blanket right now, and they're going to be feeding off of each other. My other 30% goes to JD and Cliff, because that screenplay where he rolled to the right and threw it back to Eckler was beautiful. It was a nice play. Now, I'm going to give 30% to the kicker, of course. He made 7 of 7. And then the last 10%, I'm going to show some love to the O-line. I'm going to give them 10%.
Love to the O-line, except for the repeated false starts inside the 10-yard line. That kind of negated it for me.
I got you. Yeah, I feel you on that standpoint. But, I mean, they pulled through when the time was needed. And if you look at this offense through these two games, but the way we're moving the ball up and down, and granted it's only one game with this kicker, it's automatic we're going to put points on the board, especially if we get within that 40-yard line. I'm not sure what the guy's distance range is, but it's looking real good for us. Jaden is B-Miss member last year, and you're talking about Sam. So far, Jaden is stacking up games of good play, and I'm hoping he's going to continue with that. That rib shot. probably woke, probably had his mind going, you know what, let me pass the ball a little bit more because that hurt. So, and my one negative I do got to say is I understand we're in a rebuild, so I can take that we're getting beat because of lack of talent. But yesterday the Giants were just spamming the curl plays, and it's like, where was the defensive adjustment on that? Outside of that, I'm hoping this thing keeps growing and improving. I'm excited for next Monday, fellas. That's all I got for y'all.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Ju. Great call, buddy. All right, phone lines are lit up. Plenty of stuff we need to do. You're going to hear from Dan Quinn. Obviously, we do have to examine some of these defensive struggles. But right now, we're doing Credit Pie, baby. It's been a long time. We're going to get Jeffrey. We're going to get Landfill. We're going to let everybody on the phones chime in. Nobody go anywhere. Landfill, you want to know something that made me and B, we'll politely say confused, is during the break, Jeff walked in and asked if we wanted to do Blame Pie also. And we were like, they won. What are we blaming them for? And Jeff's like, I don't know. I thought it was a cool idea. I found it slightly confusing.
All right. Now, we ain't going to make me the bid because it was not said like that.
B, how was it said?
But let's be honest. There are some things we could blame for yesterday's win. But it sounds weird, but
we've only done it for like 3 years now. When we win, we do a credit pie. When we lose, we do a blame
pie. There
are
plenty of negatives to discuss.
I mean, if
we're talking about the win or the loss, you can't blame a win.
But B, it was.
I understand the semantics
are weird.
No, we could discuss.
I would say it sounds weird to say, but we definitely we get what the segment would be because even though it was an ugly win, B, we were in the red zone 7 times.
Yeah, and we can discuss that, but the blame pie, credit pie is about winning and losing. It ain't got nothing to do with everything else.
Let's hit these phones and see what these folks say. Ryan is on line one. What up, Ryan? Credit pie, baby.
Well, you could probably give 100% to the kicker, but for all intents and purposes, we'll do 33% for the kicker. I think we do another 33% for Jaden and Cliff. I think if you look at the passing chart for Jaden, they're kind of opening up the playbook for him, allowing him to throw deep, a little bit deeper every time. Thought there were a couple great play calls, great screens by Cliff. And then no one's talked about him, but Noah Brown. I saw the snap count, 28% of snaps. That has to increase every week compared to Dyami Brown's 70% of snaps. I don't care how good of a training camp Brown has. He hasn't impressed. We have the worst corners in the league, so that's probably who he was cooking in training camp. I think Noah Brown gives us size, speed, kind of like a Nico Collins ability on the outside. And then, so I'll give Noah Brown a little bit more credit. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you guys is, before the end, someone's got to tell me what happened with the healthy scratch to Jamin Davis. We need all the help we can get. I don't know why he's scratched, but we need more help on the defensive side from corner and getting guys like Jamin to play.
All right.
I'm going to address that real quick.
Yeah, because people keep asking.
No, I'm going to address it because the coach already said in the beginning of the year that they're going to have different groupings throughout the year where they're not going to always use the same people over and over again. And Jamin is actually learning a position, and they just probably felt it would be better. It didn't work out great, but they felt it would be better this week. So he'll be playing again probably next week. But he's not going to play every week for the most part, to be honest with you.
I think a lot of it hinged – hold on, Ryan. I think a lot of it hinged on what they thought Johnny Newton could give them, and then if they're going to be down a man on the interior, how they had to kind of react to that. And if you saw Saturday night, they elevated Carlos Watkins up. I also think – but for so long, Jamin Davis has been such this like touch point of interest and care because of his draft status, whatever it was. Like, I just think if he was that good, like if he was awesome and made this tremendous difference in the week one loss to Tampa where they got their ass kicked, he wouldn't have been inactive, man. Like, I think we got to recalibrate expectations.
Just he did, but
it's a name everybody knows, so they want to ask about it. If you are one of the, like, Jamison Crowder was inactive yesterday, that's a guy that's helped them before. Are you concerned about Crowder being inactive? Because I think we've got to recalibrate and understand that's about the level of player we're talking here.
Yeah, but I felt like Jamin had a couple good plays against Tampa. Obviously, it's hard to say every play, but two of the standout plays he had were tackles for loss that, I don't know, it just seemed like
I hear you.
Like you said,
It is curious. I think it was dictated because of they kept Johnny Newton on the active, and then he was only able to play 12 snaps for you. So you've got to kind of make adjustments based on that. And Jamin, because, granted, he deserves credit for converting positions and all that, but there is no way you can include Jamin in any sort of rotation where he's going to bump inside. He just doesn't have the size for that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a guy like Watkins that you can call up can and does. I just think we need to not treat that like it's like this shocking development and that's why the defense struggled or something. Because I just don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, and then I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on maybe bringing in some corner talent this week. And then, like I said, the Noah Brown. I just think he gives us an element that we don't have with size and speed. But I thought he was great in the limited snaps that he had. Have to see more going forward from him.
Agree with you on Brown. I think you will see more going forward. I mean, he was your second leading receiver yesterday. The most yards of any actual wideout. And I mean, B and I said it in the open, I think, just watching him run, he does.
Yeah, I said last week, just watching him out there getting ready for the game, I think he'll bring something special. He's going to play more. I'll be honest with you, you're saying bringing in some cornerbacks. How many great cornerbacks you think out there on the street right now?
Adam Peters, training camp, so, when they made their roster cuts, it's like, listen, man, the reality is you probably don't get that much better this time of year.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, but I think Adam Peters has already been looking, and if he had something he felt would be absolutely better, he would have brought him in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And just to hammer this point home with Jamin, when you know you're keeping Johnny Newton elevated, you're going to let this kid play because you want to see him on the field, but he played 12 snaps. They probably knew it wasn't going to be a whole lot going in. They know they need somebody that can maybe rotate in, and they call up Carlos Watkins from the practice squad. Carlos Watkins, 6'3", 305. Mm-hmm. He gives you some versatility. Jamin Davis, I think, is 6'2", 230. There's zero chance that dude can help you in anything but that pass rusher role.
Yeah.
And you just needed versatility. And I think we got to have realistic expectations for why they felt that was a reasonable course of action. And I think it's because of where they think he is as a pass rusher. If Khalil Mack was on this team, he wouldn't be inactive. You
Agreed.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll also say the blame pie thing. If you guys did a blame pie, I'll say if we see anything out of Newton coming forward, Allen and Payne might be getting new homes at the trading deadline because they've been invisible. I mean, if we see anything out of Newton, this defense isn't good enough to be keeping some of these guys. I could see us accumulating assets for an Allen or Payne just to get something for next year's draft.
I think that's a reasonable thought, especially if you look at last year. Ownership that's very analytically driven. This is a long-term rebuild. Mm-hmm. And last year, trading Chase away was one thing, but nobody wanted to trade Sweat, and they did it anyway. Oh, thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the call, dude.
All right, brother.
Good call.
Thanks.
We're going to keep the phone lines open for the entire next hour. Everybody wants to call in, do it. 800-636-1067. It's B. Mitchell Finley.